Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the first Sunday in Advent. Just wanted to see if you were paying attention. Don't panic, it's really not. It's the first Sunday after Christmas. So anyways, welcome everybody, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. And whether you've been here for your whole life or this is your first time, we're glad that you found your way to this worshiping community. And a few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar and a list of announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you or the elder who will be standing in front of the communion table following worship today. And then during the offering, we ask everybody to get the hospitality register that's in the pews in front of you, to sign that and pass it down so that we can all greet each other by name. We have a few announcements this morning, and first one is Barb Snaith. Barb?
Thanks, Tom. Good morning, everybody. Oh, my goodness, there's not many people here. Happy New Year, and I'm up here because we're having our annual women's candlelight brunch on Saturday, January 5th. Right now we have 52 women signed up. I think that's pretty good. So
can I come too?
Yeah, put it
all right.
It's going to be awesome. We will be collecting for Willow, used to be the battered women's shelter. So you bring all personal items and bags. One thing that I don't have right now are people to bring boxes, to pack them up, and to also volunteer to take the items to Willow. So anybody that could do that, they can either let me know between now and Saturday or on Saturday is great, but that would be helpful. The cost is $20 a person. I'm giving her a number tomorrow, but people can still call me. And I will be in the fellowship hall selling spots. There's no real tickets this year, but we'll have a lot of fun. So those of you that haven't signed up, there's still time. Thank you.
Jim?
Wow, it'll be empty today. Good morning. This is just a quick announcement. The envelopes are available out in the foyer. And a reminder to throw away last year's envelopes because you don't want your donations to get somebody else's credit. So just toss them. Thank you.
There's another announcement, and you can see that we have quite a few homeless poinsettia plants. So they're all looking for a good home. They're free. So please, after church, feel free to take home 1, 2, or 10 poinsettias with you, okay? Are there any other announcements? Then let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce. We do have a new guest preacher with us today. Melissa is visiting family on vacation in Michigan. So we'd like to welcome Victoria Berlick from, you may have seen Victoria around. She's on our committee on ministry for the Presbytery and worships at Pittsford Presbyterian Church. So welcome, Victoria. Now, if you'll join me in the call to worship. Come, praise the eternal God, all you in the heavens, angels above.
Praise God.
Sun, moon, and stars in the sky.
Praise God.
Dolphins and whales, fish in the sea.
Praise God.
Lightning and thunder, snow and rain.
Praise God.
Mountains and hills, deserts and prairies.
Praise God.
Fruit trees and cedars, flowers and weeds.
Praise God.
Kings and presidents, prime ministers and judges.
Praise God.
Men and women, young and old.
Praise God.
Let them all praise the name of God.
God's name stands alone above all others.
God's glory shines over earth and heaven. Please join me in a prayer of confession. Lord, it's only a few days after Christmas celebration, and we are exhausted. People have come and gone. Gatherings are winding down. We are being reminded of the normalcy of life returning to us. We don't want to go there just yet. We want to linger in the warmth of the season. Forgive us when we don't seem to feel your warmth in our lives all the time. Forgive us when we assign warmth only to Christmas and then to Easter and seem to dwell on the mundane the rest of the time. Give us courage to live as people of the light, those who find your comforting, encouraging presence in our lives at all times. Strengthen us for joyful service in your name. Amen. Now let us bring our confessions to God in a moment of silence. Hear now these words of assurance. The Scriptures promise that God will make all things new.
As God makes the new year,
may we also be made new by God's love and forgiveness in Jesus.
I'd like to invite the children forward. And young at heart. Good morning. How are you? I thought this would be a perfect day to invite my husband, Mr. Olson, forward to join us for Thoughts for Children. After Christmas, we're thinking about Jesus as a baby and maybe as a young boy. One of the scriptures today is from the book of Luke, and that's one of the few books where we talk about Jesus as a young person. So here's Mr. Olson.
Hello. So I thought today we might talk about all the ways that we can show love to our families and our communities and our church. Since we're talking about Jesus and his family and how his family showed love to him and how he could show love to his family, I thought we might be able to share some of the ways that we show love within our families. So does anybody have any ways that they show love to their parents? Any ways they show that they can help? Oops, carefully.
Everett, how do you show love?
How do you show love, Ev?
Showing mommy garbage truck.
Yeah, so sharing things that we love with each other, like garbage trucks. Yeah. One of the ways that I show love with my family is by cleaning up and helping out. Do you guys do that too?
I clean up too.
Yes, you do sometimes. Another way we can show love a little more widely is love with our church. So one of the ways we can show love with our church is by helping clean up and making sure we pick up after ourselves.
And chasing after other people's children if they need a little help.
Yep. And then even beyond that, we can share love with our community. So does anybody know how we can share love with our community? Uh-huh. Well, we show love with our community by helping out if you see someone in need, by volunteering. If you see somebody who needs help moving things, you can help them out too. So with that, why don't we say a quick prayer, okay?
Will you help Dad with the prayer?
Okay, so let's repeat after me, let's bow our heads. Dear God,
you got.
Thank you for our families and our church.
Thank you for our families and our church.
And help us to show love.
And show love.
With our church family and our community.
With our church family and our community.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Our first reading today is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Listen now for the word of God. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, then forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Our gospel reading comes today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. And I'm reading from the NRSV version of the Bible. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him and among his relatives, their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of the Lord. Can you imagine the fear and the anguish Mary and Joseph felt losing their child in Jerusalem? Most of us knows only how it feels to lose sight of your child for a couple of minutes, at least I hope. You didn't have to ever deal with your children missing longer than that. But even a couple of minutes can feel like an eternity when you look around and you can't see your baby. And it doesn't matter how old is your baby. They can be 12, just like in Jesus' case. Then comes the relief and the joy when you find them, I don't know, behind the bush in the garden petting the neighbor's cat, or still staring at the Build-A-Bear workshops display somewhere in the mall. And then comes the anger and the scolding. And with almost the same words as Mary used. Child, why have you treated like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. And usually the safely found child displays the same lack of understanding. Their answer is normally something like this: why were you so anxious? I was right here safe. And they don't seem to understand that just because they knew that they were there and they were safe, their parents didn't know because they were missing. It's amazing how similar Jesus' answer to these sentiments. First, in this trip to Jerusalem, everything seems to be going on schedule. The family of Jesus goes down to Jerusalem for Passover, as usual, probably with a caravan of friends and family, banding together for safety. Everything seems to be normal until they turn around to go home, go a day's journey, probably stop for the night, and Jesus probably doesn't show up for dinner. They look for him, and they can't find him with anybody. If you go and look in commentaries, there's a lot of made about this. Why is it that Mary and Joseph didn't care to look for Jesus for a whole day? And people sometimes don't seem to understand what happened here. I think to see why was the delay, let us not think of a long road trip we take nowadays where we put the children in the car and when we want to make sure they are all there, we just turn around in the back seat and count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, or how many children you have, and then you drive away. Think more of a situation of a yearly extended family picnic, where everybody is related to everybody. And you may not see your children for hours and hours, but you do not worry because they are probably with an older cousin or with a beloved aunt or uncle. You do not exactly know where they are, but you're pretty sure they are with a trusted person. I think we had a similar situation here with Jesus' earthly family. They were doing the same trip according to the Gospel of Luke, yearly, starting probably with the circumcision of Jesus Christ. And nothing ever happened, we can assume, because it's not in the scriptures. So if a child made it without making this ever disappearing like this till age 12, the parents don't start to worry about it at that time. But he does disappear this year. Age 12, when according to the scriptures, he's still a boy, but just on the verge of becoming a full member of the Jewish community. They stop at night, and they can't find Jesus. They look everywhere, and when they are sure he's not there, they turn around, travel another day back to Jerusalem, probably filled with fear and anguish for his safety. Then comes going through Jerusalem, looking probably all the places where they have been, where he could be, where they stayed at night for the celebration, and then finally they go back to the temple. What we're looking for, we always find it at the last place we are looking for, isn't it? And they do find Jesus Christ in the temple, not a care in life, sitting and debating the scriptures with scribes and Torah scholars and already telling them what the scriptures mean. When Jesus answers his parents' question, he's almost flippant. He says, "Why are you searching for me? Don't you know that I'm supposed to be in my Father's house?" Really, he almost sounds like any tween or teen I ever met. What's the big deal? You should have known where to find me. You know who I am. He's like every other kid, but he's not every other kid. And there comes the big question for me. What does it mean to be a parent? This is a question we need to answer differently with each child we have. Because just as every child is different, so is the parenting they need is different. And then comes the other question. What does it mean to be the parent, the earthly parent of Jesus Christ? When Mary said yes to carrying the child of God, she really didn't know what she was saying yes to. This is true not only because she carried and cared for Jesus Christ, who was proven to be the Christ when he died for the sins of the whole world on the cross, and when he was raised by his heavenly Father on the third day. Mary's lack of understanding wasn't just because she was human, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Those who are among us parents probably know that this lack of understanding happens with every parent and with every child. Nobody knows what we say yes to when we decide to bring another life into the world, no matter how many children we have already, because every child is unique. Now imagine you're having your first child and it happens to be Jesus Christ. Nobody, no human being can be ready for this, because we do not understand God due to our human limitations, our finite nature. Of course, we can argue that Mary should have known better. After all, the angel came to her and told her who the coming child is going to be, that he is going to be the Messiah. After all, Mary herself spells out what the coming of the Messiah means in the Magnificat. Yet when Jesus stays in the temple, in his Father's house with a capital F, she seems to have forgotten all of it. She seems to have forgotten all that she herself said and all that the angels told her and the shepherds and the wise men reported to her, that this child is special, with a special mission and connection to God. How is that possible? Some of the biblical scholars just use what I call the cheap and easy solution. They just say, well, the Magnificat and the report of the angel comes from one source, and this story and the end of the chapter comes from a different source. And in this source, Mary didn't know anything beforehand. But I think that's just an easy way of skipping over a very real problem. And the very real problem I'm talking about is that we can know about something and we still don't know what it means. Let us go back to parenting, earthly parenting, with an average children who is not the Messiah, of course. We know that the coming of the baby will mean a lot of dirty diapers in the beginning, sleepless nights, then later it will mean skinned knees and temper tantrums, then transporting them to sports and practice to friends' houses than sending them out either to college or to work. But this doesn't tell the whole story. It doesn't tell really anything what it will mean or would mean to have a child. Similarly, Mary, I think, could remember everything the angels told them, her at the birth of her child, and still wouldn't anticipate that Jesus would disappear in the temple. She could perfectly remember that Jesus was and is the child of God, the Messiah, then to know that God will watch over Jesus Christ all the time and still worry when at age 12 she couldn't find her son. Accepting any new life in our lives will bring a lot of joy, but it will bring sorrow. It will bring pride, and it will bring misunderstandings, and it will bring conflicts too. And these things will multiply when you accept Jesus Christ into your life. Because there is nothing to compare the experience of Jesus coming into someone's life, and nobody can tell us or could tell Mary how it would be. Mary knew that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah, but her understanding differed greatly of what that would mean. She misunderstood everything so much that if you read the Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark, there is a point when Jesus goes after his son, now grown son, who is proclaiming the kingdom of God and healing people, and tries to take him home, Mary and the family, declaring him insane, that he's out of his mind. It took time, humility, and even breaking the mother's heart to accept what Jesus' life and mission really was, that he came to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, and to die on the cross for all of us. What did it mean when you accepted Jesus Christ into your life? What does it mean for us to accept him, to invite him in? Does the road we walk following him look like the road we expected when we first said, "Yes, Lord Jesus, come"? When we first opened the doors of our hearts, when he knocked on those doors, we knew that the road would be narrow and not well trodden when we said yes to Jesus Christ. But I'm sure that this road turned and will turn out different from what we imagine. Sometimes it is harder, sometimes it is more joyful, or even the opposite, brings more sorrow. Often it doesn't go in the direction we expect it would go. And in these occasions, we argue with our master about which way should be heading. But remember, when it comes to these times of conflicts and misunderstandings, we need to remember who is right and who is wrong. We need to remember that when we accepted to follow Christ, when we called him into our lives, from that point on, it's not us, but it's always Jesus Christ to decide which way to go. We often find ourselves in the same predicament Mary found herself. We should know what's happening and what is supposed to happen, because it was proclaimed to us, it was told to us, yet we still seem to forget. We, like Mary, have to face hard truths. Truth we know in theory, yet protest against in practice. What these misunderstandings and conflicts on your road, in your lives are, I do not know, because just as parenting is different for each and any of us, so is the road we take when we follow Jesus Christ. And this road is almost impossible to prepare for. And we are not the ones who make the final decisions of how it's going to look. If we follow our Messiah, then this is the path when we slowly shed our worldly human nature and form ourselves, as Paul called it, into the image of Christ, leaving the old behind and taking up the new creation. Following Jesus Christ means that we let the child Christ born into our lives, into our hearts. And we learned a lesson, maybe learned from this trip to Jerusalem. We learned that we do not control the narrative of our lives anymore. And if we didn't learn this yet, then Christ really hasn't born in our lives yet. And as the presence of the Christ child grows in us, he directs us. What kind of oppositions does it create in our hearts? How do our lives change when we accept his directions and we learn to rely on him more and more? How does it feel like to be Mary, not only knowing the promises of God for the world, but learning to live into these promises with the wholeness of our existence? It is not easy to give up control over our lives to someone else, even if this someone else is our loving Savior. And indeed, it is harder for us than it was for Mary or Joseph or the later disciples, because our modern age is beholden to the ideal of a self-made and self-controlled man or woman. It is not easy for us to see, just as it wasn't easy for Mary, that when our road differs from that of the Christ child, then we are the ones who strayed, and we are the ones who are in the wrong. When we expect Jesus find over here, and he's somewhere over there, then we are the one who are in the wrong spot, and we better get back to him quickly. If we are heading home to Nazareth and he's still in the temple, maybe we should be still in the temple. When we accept Jesus into our lives, we have expectations of what it would bring and what it would mean. And time and again, we are surprised because his presence brings pain when we do not expect it, just as it brought pain for Mary. But what his presence brings is joy and the celebration of life. We know that he will show powerfully in our lives, but we imagine the power of the Messiah quite different. We imagine it more forceful, more earthly, more magnificent. And what we normally get is a quiet infusion of the everyday life with his extraordinary presence. Instead of earthly glory, he brings heavenly glory. It's kind of like the difference between fireworks and the sun. Think about a firework. You hear big booms and there is sparkly lights in the sky and they light up the night sky. And it's really a great show. It's magnificent, but the darkness stays. And think about the sun when the sun rises. It seems normal that the sun rises in the morning and heats up the world, and we can see by its light. But the difference between the two is that this everyday thing, this everyday light of the sun, dispels all the darkness around us. Jesus brings seemingly everyday joys and everyday miracles into our lives instead of just showing off his powers. But his presence is like the presence of the sun, the presence of Christus Victor, the victorious Christ who came and lived for every one of us. We will not get what we expect from him, but we will always get more. We will get what we need in our life: his love, his grace, and his salvation. The year is almost over. This is just today and tomorrow from 2018. And a new year is dawning for us. And similarly, in Jesus Christ, the old world is passing away, and we are expecting a new world to come. as we're getting ready to finish this old year and starting anew, let us also prepare to search out and live out the way of Jesus Christ more fully and more deeply, remembering and holding God's promises through Christ in our hearts. Amen.
Stanford, I asked a couple weeks ago about prayers for RIT. They are reopening on the 2nd, and the interview process continues. So continued prayers that I get the job at RIT. Thank you.
Hi, Beth Molina. Prayers for safe travel for my daughter, Rachel, who leaves for 3 months in Dublin, Ireland on the 1st to student teach.
Carrie Dykes, Sam has made it safely to Zanzibar. They were in Africa. They were greeted with dancing and gifts. And today they'll be taking laptop computers to one of the local schools there that doesn't have any computers. The students are apparently learning programming without computers. So this will be very helpful to them. So she'll be there for 2 weeks.
Hi, Keith Morgan here. We just wanted to ask for prayers for Paulette's family. We learned at 7 o'clock this morning that her brother passed away in Arizona.
Okay, if we could bring our prayers to God. Great are the works of your hands, O God. They clothe you with honor and majesty, for they are faithful and just, promoting peace and sustaining life. You make the springs to give drink to the beasts and water the trees where birds build their nests. You cause the grass to grow for pasture and sow the seed for cultivation. You fill the sea with living things and speckle the sky with eagles. We will sing to you as long as we live. We will chant your praises while we are being, like the boy Samuel. We will serve you, like the boy Jesus. We will seek you, like both of them. We will ask the question that has been raised by your children throughout the ages. What must we do to be doing the works of God? And you will answer as you have answered throughout the ages. You will give to others freely. You shall open wide your hands and your hearts, and shall not be grudging, but I bless you in all that you do. Let us pray for those concerns that we heard today. Keep everyone's family in your hearts and minds, and may God lay his healing hands on all that suffer. Amen. God of every good and perfect gift, we thank you for your greatest gift, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In this season when so many gifts are given and received, we pray that you will receive the gifts that we offer now. Use them according to your purposes and plans, bringing your good news of great joy to all people through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Prayer. Let us pray our Father together first. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace, taking Christ's peace into this world. Amen.